So since Christmas, since the 25th, we've had two feast days in the church year, the Feast of Stephen, which of course is on the 26th, and we're reminded that in the, do you remember which hymn? Which good king went out? Wenceslas, on the Feast of Stephen, so December 26th, and then the Feast Day of the Holy Innocents on the 28th, two feast days that commemorate deaths. It's so interesting, and even on Christmas Eve, I was trying to communicate this, that the birth of Jesus and death are wrapped up. They're wrapped up into one. And, he was born that man may no more die, born to give us, born to help the sons of earth, born to give us second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. And so in this birth, death is wrapped up, and it's this kind of clashing and crashing. I was with a one-month-old over Christmas, as well as his big brother, a 14-month-old. And, to think about death in face of these two little lives bombing around. I mean, the one-month-old wasn't bombing around, but he was sure alive and entertaining the whole group. And little Zach, the 14-month-old, so well-versed in being gentle and kissing his younger brother that he was kissing the baby Jesus in our illuminated creche scene. Little Zach bending down so gently. So much beauty and tenderness and love. The thought of death was very far from us. But here it is. In the second reading from the book, the letter to the Hebrews, this conflict at least is brought to our attention. The unity that we share with Christ is underlined in both readings. It's not a messenger that God sent, but his very presence came to deliver you. And so God is so identifying with us through Jesus that we're told that children share flesh and blood, and he himself likewise shared the same things. So this incarnation is meant to also highlight the suffering, the decay and death that we as humans, in one way, sadly experience. My neighbor is not able to go out anymore. His cancer has just advanced to a degree that he's uncomfortable most of the time, so we try to go over and just visit or just touch base. And so death is clearly a reality amongst us, that's for sure. Some of us perhaps more aware of that than others, and yet that's part of Christmas too. So that we're told in this letter again that therefore, since the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same thing, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. And so there's this conflict around Christmas, and any of us who have families that gather at Christmas are in some way in touch with that. Conflicts generally arise. Perhaps not, and praise God for that, but it's part of also our human experience. So it's interesting to see how that is highlighted through iconography, and I've asked Philip if he'd project an image of Mary. This is the mother Mary, and she's punching the devil in the face. Is that an image of Mary that you have? You know, the birth of Jesus was this standoff, this being counted. When we say that, enkindle us in us, in our hearts, this light of Christ, it's so that we could be fit for battle as well. Jesus, or Mary's given him sort of a right jab, I guess, and not in dialogue with the devil, but punching him right in the face. And so part of this Christmas reality is the light has come and the darkness has not overcome it. And Mother Mary is leading the way. This is from an illustrated gospel, illuminated gospel. And it's a 13th century image of Mary punching the devil in the face. And so is that part of our Christmas reality, kind of re-fortifying, re-clarifying our life here in this earth, this culture, even our own families? And are there certain things that we need to just punch in the nose and say, no, that's not part of me. I'm not going to pursue that. And the fact that we're on the threshold of a new year, I think maybe quickens that a bit for us. I submit that to you as a consideration. You know, we aren't immune to difficulty, just as Jesus, Joseph, and Mary had to flee to Egypt because Herod killed all the children, the babies, two and under. What a travesty. And this travesty is perpetuated even today in the trafficking of children, in the death of children, in the persecution of people, including children. So how do we punch that devil in the nose, get clear about our priorities and what we're not going to do, as well as what we're going to do? Jesus clearly was tested through suffering, and we're called to follow in that way. A couple positive, that's fairly negative image there, but I hope it in some way, fortifies you. I've asked Philip to put up another image as well. It's a little, I'll read it for you. It's about living Christmas, this season. So when the carols have been stilled, when the star-topped tree is taken down, and ours is not yet, when family and friends are all gone home, some are still with us, when we are back to our schedules, the work of Christmas begins. To welcome the refugee, to heal a broken planet, to feed the hungry, to build bridges of trust, not walls of fear, to share our gifts, to seek justice and peace for all people, to bring Christ's light into the world. So that's a very positive frame of what I think was part of Mary giving the devil a punch in the nose. We move out in this light that we've been given, this light that has been kindled in our hearts. I made a number of fires in our fireplace. We are old school in our house, as long as we have split wood anyway. And the wood was wet. And so I brought it in the week before Christmas, knowing that we'd have people in the house, and I dried it out. I put a dehumidifier in the basement. I put a gentle heat on it, and I dried the wood out and then stacked it under the deck where it was out of the rain. And I wonder if that doesn't need to happen to our hearts as well. We pray the colic for purity, and that's a good thing, and we pray that God would kindle in us this light, and perhaps we need to have our hearts sort of prepared and dried out in order to take that light and to burn. I've asked Philip to put up another image here about living this season. I saw this posted by the Bishop of Montreal, Bishop Mary. The 9 key teachings of Jesus. How about focusing on these? Radical love, lavish generosity, extravagant forgiveness, inclusive hospitality, compassionate action, selfless service, a passion for justice, creative nonviolence, and simple living. It's from Kurt Struckmeyer, an unorthodox faith. And so I commend these to you as we continue in the season of Christmas, as we welcome the season of Epiphany, when that light is then shared with all the world through the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Magi, and continue on in this new year before us by God's grace and by God's goodness. I wonder if we could pray. Lord God, we thank you for Stephen, the first martyr, for his faith, for following Jesus. Lord, we remember the holy innocents, these children slaughtered by the power of the day. and acknowledge that neglect and slaughter continue in this day. So help us, Lord, with sensitive hearts, that as we are kindled by your love and fire, that we would take a stand and live Christmas this season and into the new year. Show us the way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.